You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Darren Owen, Andrew Mount and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Ludlow and Musselburgh, accompanied by All Weather Action on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. Three meetings to get stuck into on Monday, so do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm okay, Mark. A little bit grinding of teeth for failing to get one or two obvious naps. Otherwise, all right.
Yeah. I can't talk about the naps, John. I'm bottom of the table. And
I didn't do too badly at Sandown. Reaping the reward ran really well, but yeah. The ground got a bit too soft and he couldn't quite last home.
Yeah, that race won, of course, by a real out-and-out stayer in the shape of Sol, who timed it perfectly as well.
I thought timed it perfectly, and my sympathies are very much with Connections and Tom Scudamore in particular for being fined £1,500 whatsoever and banned for 4 days for using the whip in the wrong manner. You know, I think they've gone too far, Mark. Mm. To me, the race was won by a horse who was gathering momentum up the hill, gaining with every stride, loving the activity. And, you know, there's no possibility of the horse being cruelly dealt with. You can tell at once if a jockey is beating up a horse who's tired and can't win. Mm. But the other way around, I mean, think about if both the jockeys in the King George had been disqualified or their mounts had been disqualified because they had broken the rules. That would have given Alpha Roth the win. He was beaten a distance. Yeah. It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's causing a bit of controversy again, isn't it? The old whip rules. But it's hard, isn't it? Because it was a great finish to the King George. It was a great race.
Yes.
And that's what it should be remembered for. And then people are criticising the rides.
Exactly. And in a way, the Veterans Final was a similar, if not quite such a high standard contest yesterday at Sandown. Mm. I think it's probably a good thing that the stewards are actually looking out for breach of the whip. But I think you've got to have a little bit of sort of common sense and give and take.
Yeah, I would agree, John. As far as Sol's concerned as well, I think they're aiming another tilt at the Grand National by the sounds of things.
Yes, he's owned by Cumbrian, and he's a grand stayer. In a way, he gets a little bit outpaced at Aintree in the spring, but, you know, yesterday's race was perfect for him.
Another of the standout performances at Sandown, John, was that of York Hill, who won the Tolworth Novices Hurdle, beating 007 relatively comfortably in the end. Nice performance as well from the William Williams runner.
Very good horse indeed, I think, York Hill. I'm pleased that A, he won, B, impressively, despite the fact of the very heavy ground underfoot, which didn't actually suit him. But it would be good for the sport if Andrea, and particularly husband Graham, did have a really good winner at Cheltenham for the Wileys. He'd been very sporting. In a way, that tremendous sportsmanship 2 years ago in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, when had they objected, they would had to have had a very good chance of winning the race. But, you know, Graham Wyler said, no, we do not object. And you know, that's very sporting, and I'd love to see them have a really good win. What he'll run in at Cheltenham is open to question, isn't it? But I thought York Hill looked a lovely horse. KP was very impressed, and he won well.
Mm. What did you make of Polly Peacham in the mare's race as well, John?
Wonderfully brave. Absolutely, tremendously brave. And the point that I would make there was the fact that David Bass was in the saddle. Now, he's having a tremendous time at the present moment. A winning strike rate, I think, over the past sort of 3 weeks of something like 40%. And, you know, he's a very strong rider. Doesn't recourse to the whip all that often. I thought he gave Polly Peacham a marvellous ride. Everyone in the studio studio was hoping the governess would win, and it looked as though she would definitely do so. But jumped really well, Polly Peachum, over the last two flights, and David Bass, you know, made certain she kept up to the mark.
Hmm. She'd be given a quote of 12-1 for the Mayor's Hurdle at the festival. Do you see that as being a bit of value? Could she get involved there, do you think?
Possibly. I don't think she's good enough to win that myself. I also have a slight issue about this Cheltenham activity. Here we are at the very beginning of January. Some very good horses have won over the winter. Let's make that perfectly clear, particularly Willie Mullins' So. Duvain, I think, is absolutely nailed on for a win at the Cheltenham Festival. But otherwise, you know, here we are with heavy ground almost everywhere. The ground won't be the same at Cheltenham. And that surely is desperately important to realise.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I were keen on See You at Midnight, who I thought was a tremendous winner at Cheltenham on Friday, and jumped really well like a stag. Brian Hughes, very positive in the saddle. But that horse may not even go to Cheltenham if the ground is, you know, good or anything faster. And there are others like that.
Yeah, exactly. If it turned up to be a soft ground festival, then you'd say, See You at Midnight would have a great chance in the RSA, but it's ground-dependent, isn't it?
Absolutely correct. It is ground-dependent, and I don't think we should get too excited about performances at this moment, bearing that in mind.
OK, fair enough. Anything else done out to you on the Saturday or New Year's Day, John?
At Ayr on Saturday, the Alexanders showed that they were in much better form than they had been for a long time. A bit unlucky not to win the first with a horse called Lakeview Lad, who came to the last right full of running, certain to win, jumped the flight all right, then collapsed on the other side. But the point I'd like to make is that we have a great deal of fuss at the moment, and rightly so, over Lizzie Kelly, who is the first lady rider to win a Grade 1 jump race. But Lucy Alexander has been, you know, a top lady rider over the jumps for the past 5 or 6 years. She had some very bad injuries last year, and her father's stable were also out of luck and not particularly fit. And it looked as though she'd gone almost. But she's come back over the past months with the stable back in form. She's ridden some really good races, a tremendous race on Another Matty to score at Kelso last Sunday, and equally good on a horse of her father's yesterday at Ayr. And I think she should be, you know, written up more at the moment, Lucy Alexander. She's riding really well.
Yeah, as you mentioned, she had a tough time with injuries, and it's good to see her back in the winner's enclosure. All right, shall we leave that there, John? Shall we get stuck into Monday's action?
We might as well do that, I think, Mark, yes.
Okay, let's get stuck into Monday. John's got four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going around the courses on Monday. We're going to preview some of the action at all three venues, and we start in the 120 at Musselburgh, which is a Class 4 handicap chase over just short of 3 miles. A field of 10 here, John. Who'd you like in there?
Well, we've got one or two possibilities in this race. The Reevleys have got their team in pretty good shape, and James Reevley will be riding Mr. Supreme for his father. Could go well, but I think the Reevleys, in a way, tend to let their horses have a run first time out. I don't mean they're not trying to win, but their horses do actually need a bit of a run. Mr. Supreme hasn't been out for really quite a while. Stuart Coulthard has got Resolute Reformer, who on last season's form would have a chance here. But this race, to me, Mark, looks as though Lucinda Russell has got the race nailed on. Bally Ben represents her, but a very in-and-out performer. It's Time for a Pint is the selection for me. I think this horse has been running quite well, and the young jockey is having a tremendous run at the moment. And Lucinda Russell's horses, well, they may not be winning all the time, but they're in reasonable form. And I think that It's Time for a Pint ought to go pretty well.
It's time for a pint then for Lord Budden in the 120 at Musselburgh. Going to Ludlow next for their 210. And this one is a Class 3 Novices Limited Handicap Chase. It's over just short of 2 miles. And where do you want to start in here, John? I suppose we could start with Cluna Cool at the top of the works.
Well, we could indeed start with Cluna Cool. We could also start with a warning, perhaps. Ludlow is one of those courses that I find it almost impossible to get a regular supply of winners, Mark. It's got very much a form of its own. There are three horses in the race, which I thought had definite chances. Officer Drivel is one of them, trained by Jim Best, with Sam Twiston Davis in the saddle. And when the two combine, they generally do fairly well. So Officer Drivel needs to be thought about. Portway Flyer from Ian Williams' stable also has a possibility. But you mentioned Cluna Cool, and that will be the choice. Stuart Edmonds is the trainer. Now, Stuart spent a long time as assistant trainer to Rennie Robson. Rennie unfortunately died last year, and Stuart took over the licence. He's done amazingly well, had another winner at Sandown on Saturday. His horse is absolutely top of the form, and I think he could take this with Cluna Cool.
Cluna Cool, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 210. Moving back to Musselburgh for their 3 o'clock, and this one is the Kilmainie Cup, a Class 3 handicap chase over just short of 2 miles, and a field of 8 for this year's renewal, John. Who do you like in this one?
The Kilmainie Cup is a very historic race, in fact, at Musselburgh, after the Kilmainie or Kilmainie family. It's a question as to how it should be pronounced. Normally over a longer trip, or has been over 3 miles, but now over 2. The horses that I like in this race, again, Lucinda Russell has a particularly good chance. Jack Steele represents her. Now, this is a J.P. McManus-owned horse for Lucinda Russell. Tap Knight is another one. Didn't do very well at Ayr on Saturday. Jack Steele won extremely impressively at Ayr 2 outings ago, and then disappointed badly last time out when I thought he had a great chance. I think that was a Doncaster. If he comes back to the Ayr form of the penultimate, then Jack Steele surely has got to go well. Lightning Rod is another one who has been knocking at the door, and this is a horse who generally picks up a couple of races, quite a decent hurdler in his time, and could easily win this. And with Mickey Hammond's horses going well, you have Vodka Wells in this contest, who was expected to win at Carlisle about a couple of outings ago, didn't, and in fact ran rather disappointingly last time out. Similarly, Peter Niven's Blades Lad, a course and distance winner 2 outings ago, disappointed last time in a better race at Ascot. I think it's between Blades Lad, who, you know, likes Musselburgh, and Jack Steele. But I'm going to go for Jack Steele because he's a promising horse.
Jack Steele in the selection for John in that one. And the final race we'll look at is the 3:40 at Wolverhampton. This one is a Class 5 handicap over 1.5 furlongs. A field of 13 here, John. It's one of the more open races on the day.
Yes, very open indeed. We can sort of boil it down, in my view, to 2 horses. Mark Loughran's got 2 in the contest, in fact. Matrash is one of them, but I do prefer the other one, which is Apache Glory, who I thought ran extremely well when second at Lingfield last time out in a contest that you know is certainly as good as this one. But I've got no favourite in this race, and he ran very well last time out at Wolverhampton, and that is Lean On Pete. Ollie Pears was a good third of 12 over course and distance last time out. When he runs into form, Lean On Pete generally picks up a race or 2 in the winter, and so I thought Apache Glory would run well, but the selection is Lean On Pete.
Lead on, Pete, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 3:40. As usual, John, if you wouldn't mind, let's just have a quick summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Well, in the 1:20 at Musselburgh, we shall go for It's Time for a Pint, a really good sort of name. In the 2:10 at Ludlow, Stuart Edwards continue his good form with Cluna Cool. In the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh, which is the Kilmainie Cup, I go for Jack Steele. And in the 3:40 at Wolverhampton, old favourite, the chance will be Lean On Pete.
Superb. Good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark. Let's hope something wins.
Yes, let's hope so. There you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Monday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40 PM. Darren Owen, Andrew Mount and Kevin O'Malley will be the team in the studio. It's Ludlow, Musselburgh and Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.